It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, welcome back to another Friday edition. And I hope your summer is rolling as we are deep into August. And I say it all the time, time is just flying. And I'm always so grateful to be here on a weekly basis, and so grateful for Tim English Realty, the English Realty Group. And Tim English, of course, has been a friend of this program literally since I started over 4 years ago. Tim with Keller Williams. And you can find Tim at 154 Southwest Oak Street in Dallas, Dallas, Oregon. And you can phone Tim at 503-998-3234. Tim has been in the real estate business for over 12 years. He's a very active member in the Dallas community. And he is he has the answers to all the questions that you have as far as real estate goes, whether you're going to buy a house, whether you're going to sell a house, or whether you just need information, because knowledge is power. And Tim is a wealth of that. And his attitude and his aura is one of, I want to help you. And he truly, truly can. English Realty, again, 503-998-3234. And then over at 154 Oak Street in Dallas. And of course, he's part of Keller Williams in Salem as well. Look him up. All right, with me today, and very appropriately so, I might add, Eric Barham. And Eric, you know, from the Marion County Fire District here locally, and you don't live, actually, your fire station is just down the street from where I live, which I think is kind of good news. Yeah. Hopefully we don't ever have to call you. But Eric, we had you on briefly at the Marion County Fair. It was such a great time to visit with you then. And I knew I wanted to talk to you more, and I can't think of a better time to talk about the fire times that we are going through right now. So, Eric, welcome. And then from afar, we've got one of your colleagues, and go ahead and introduce her, Eric.
Yeah, thank you for having us on. Along with me, I have Allison Green from the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. She is their Defensible Space Program Coordinator, so she's joining us remotely.
Wonderful. Allison, say hello. Welcome to the program, Allison.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm coming to you from Central Oregon. I live in Lapine, but based in Bend for work.
Wow. So, Allison, why don't we start with you and tell us about how long you have been in the firefighting world, if I may use that terminology, and where you're at. It's a pretty active time going into the summer. Talk a little bit about your history and why, what drew you to this calling that you're in, Allison.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And as Eric said, kind of in our introductions, I am the coordinator for the statewide Defensible Space Program here at Oregon State Fire Marshal. I've actually been in wildfire, whether it was fighting wildfire or in mitigation, for going on 18 years now, which is crazy to say out loud. I definitely have the gray hairs to prove it. But I started my career actually in wildland firefighting, swinging a Pulaski, and then I actually kind of navigated over to the mitigation and community education side of things, where I really found a home in my love for wildfire and my passion for mitigating the impacts to our communities and helping folks know what to do, you know, before there's smoke in the air, and then also, you know, kind of timely right now, what to do when there is smoke in the air so they can still stay safe during wildfire season.
Yeah, Allison, it's really an honor to talk to you because Eric and I were visiting before this program. And can you just tell my audience what it's like to be into the war zone of being in the fire, fighting it yourself? I don't expect you to be, you know, bring back any PTSD type deal, hoping you're okay. But talk about what it's like to be a firefighter in the middle of the battle of the blazes, if you will.
Well, I mean, to be honest, one of the main things that drew me to it was I have always loved being outside, right? Coming from the agency that I currently work for, right? We work alongside the more than 300 structural fire departments and districts in the state of Oregon. I came up kind of on the other side of the fire service and the wildland fire service. And the reality is all of the firefighters, no matter what color their truck and what their day-to-day work is, when it's wildfire season, it is all hands on deck. Yeah. You know, for me, starting outside and then being able to do something that had intense team building, had a little bit of adrenaline boost to it, and then also staying outside, it's more fun than anything else, but it is hot. It is smoky work. But at the end of the day, when you know you are protecting communities, you're protecting things that Oregonians and other folks hold dear, it makes every single second out on that smoky fire line worth it.
If someone's listening right now, and perhaps a young person, because I like to deal with the young, for example, when I'm going to the fairs to see the young FFA people, the young 4-H kids and stuff like that. And they're listening to this and they're listening to you, Allison, and they're saying to themselves, I want to do this. What's your training and how do you get started on this? Because we're always going to need you, you warriors out there. Talk a little bit about your start and your desire to do that and how someone could follow up if they want to enter this career because they feel like you did back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would say there's the crazy thing is there's so many paths to end up doing this kind of work. I would say first and foremost, the backbone of the structural fire service is volunteers. Hands down. And so if there is somebody listening to this, right, they are just starting out, or maybe they're retired or they're in the next chapter of their life, go down to your local fire district, see if they're taking volunteers. They help you navigate that process. So I would be remiss if I don't say, go volunteer with your local fire department. They are the backbone of the Oregon Fire Service. Full stop. But if folks are looking at wildland fire service, a lot of outfits, whether it's a federal outfit, whether it's state, whether it's a private outfit, applying, showing them that you are a hard worker, that you enjoy being outside, a lot of times that initial training is provided for you. My first job in fire was at 18. I didn't have any training. I knew how to work hard, and I liked being outside, and that was the ground floor. But if folks are interested in the structural fire service, go volunteer. They're always looking for volunteers, and it helps all of us be more successful.
I really appreciate that, Allison. Allison Green out there in Central Oregon, and some of that smoke is coming over, and we're seeing that. I got to bring Eric Burham in. Eric, so what are you doing these days since we last visited?
So we've been working on wrapping up a couple of the grants that we have and out talking to our community here in the districts I cover, doing, you know, structural assessments for them or wildfire mitigation assessments. So yeah, it's been busy. People see smoke in the air and they want to know what they need to do or what they can do. And so it's busy.
You know, it's busy. And it seems like you and I visited a couple of weeks back at the Marion County Fair, and we were hearing about the smoke and fires from Canada coming down because of what was going on up there, Europe. When you say mitigation, what exactly? I'll start with you, Eric. What does that mean?
So basically, when we go out to somebody's property, their home, we look at, I guess we'd start with defensible space. So what can we do on a property to make it where it can be easily defended against a wildfire and also prevent, structural ignition, prevent the property from catching on fire, or really we're focused on the house. You lose your yard or trees. I mean, that it is what it is, but we want to protect the structure. So mitigation basically is the act of, you know, removing fuels, maybe cleaning gutters, cleaning your roof line, you know, raking the bark dust away from the side of the house. So doing what we can to mitigate the risk of a structural ignition.
Allison, where you're at, Allison Green out in Central Oregon, what does mitigation mean to you out there?
Well, I think ultimately it is, you know, Eric hit the nail on the head. It is making sure that we are reducing that ignition risk for, frankly, any of the values that we hold dear. Primarily, we work with folks around their house because that is the focal point. But also, right, like if folks have a shop that has a bunch of treasures in it, or if they have a hay barn or whatever it is, mitigation are those actions before there's smoke in the air that we can do. And there's even a few that we can do now that don't require power tools. Nobody gets their power tools out. It's too hot for that nowadays. But there's things we can do now. I would also say this time of year, one of the bigger things that we need help mitigating is those ignitions themselves. So human-caused fire prevention, huge, huge, huge role that every single person either visiting or living in Oregon can play right now in the heart of fire season.
Yeah, I am. We're going to get into some questions I'm going to have for both of you as, you know, we're in the summertime here in Oregon. And a lot of people are out and about and they're thinking about what they want to do with their spare time. And so as we wrap up this first segment with both Eric Barham, you're the Defensible Space Supervisor here in Marion County District. And then we are talking out in La Pine with Allison Green doing a broader state version of that, if I may just use it loosely. Jake, Rural Matters, hang on. We're going to be right back.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters back with you. So glad to be here. And we're in the heart of summer. And if you're driving around, you notice the farmers are out doing their thing and they are doing their best at it. And being an ex-farmer, I know that these people are poetry in motion. Give them their space when they're driving their vehicles. The grass seed's being harvested. The bales are being baled. The semis are going in and out. They want to get where they got to go. You want to get where you want to go. Everybody take a breath. Let's make this all happen. That's what makes Oregon. And honestly, Eric, the Willamette Valley is amazing. We live in a great place. Everything grows here. It's dry, though.
It's dry. It's beautiful here.
It is. Allison Green, I want to get back to you out there in Central Oregon. I'm fascinated with that area as well. Can we talk a little bit, Allison, about people that are still enjoying summer before school starts, before Labor Day, about some camping etiquette, anything they need to do to look up to see that they don't become part of the problem? I'll lay it out to you that way, Allison Green.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's some amazing resources out there. And ultimately, you know, one thing that we really ask folks, whether they're coming to Oregon to visit before we're back to school or right there just exploring a new part of Oregon, no matter what, on average, 75% of our wildfires in Oregon are started by humans. Wow. That doesn't mean they're malicious intent. It just means that accidental fires happen, and typically humans are the cause. Right now, lightning has been giving us grief for fire season 2026, which means we really need folks to be vigilant in preventing the fires that we can, preventing those dang fires. So ultimately, if you are going to go camping, if you are going on a day trip, check the local, either you're going to a national forest, you're going to a state park, whatever it may be, look them up first before you even hit the road. Make sure there's no campfire bans in place. And if there are, have a plan on how you're going to keep yourself warm and have that campfire ambiance without starting a campfire. Also, if you're hauling a trailer, make sure those chains are not dragging. What we don't want is those chains to be hitting the road and sending out sparks as folks are on their way to go recreate. If you happen to be in a part of the state that campfires are allowed, don't ever leave that campfire hot to the touch. Make sure it is cold and it is wet if you are leaving where campfires are allowed.
Yeah, Allison, I want to take it one more step out there with you because it's been pretty intense in your neck of the woods, literally. How is the camping season out there right now? You said you're in La Pine, I believe, and that's between La Pine and Sisters and Bend. There's a lot of good stuff to do out there. How's that holding out so far?
Honestly, I live in such a gorgeous area. I mean, anywhere I go in Oregon, like I still have I still have moments 18 years into this business where I'm driving somewhere in Oregon. It doesn't matter where I go. And I have to pinch myself like, dang, I'm getting paid to do this, right? Like
right
we have an absolutely phenomenal state.
Yes,
but here
we do.
Locally, right, recreation is a huge part of it. We have all kinds of national monuments. We have national forests. We have state parks. And so ultimately, folks have been really great. Frankly, the smoke has been a pretty haunting reminder because it's been in the air for about 6 weeks now. But ultimately, we don't want to have that next fire start because somebody isn't paying attention. So again, when you're coming over to recreate, especially if you're coming to my neck of the woods, please making sure that you are staying in line with all of those public use restrictions. Even folks that may be thinking about, you know, doing defensible space, which I know we'll talk about a little bit, no running power tools late in the day, mowing your grass when it's 100 degrees out, being super mindful about how you can prevent those fires.
Well said, Allison. I appreciate that. And Eric, I want to bring that to you because you and I were visiting about the climate we're really in. It hasn't been, in my mind, Eric, super, super hot. But what we've been is super, super warm and dry for a pretty long period of time. Why don't you talk a little bit about how that can create this environment?
Yeah. So when we have these long spells of warm, you know, say mid-80s even, but we have the slight wind, which we've experienced quite a bit here in the valley. You know, it's slightly windy, even just a small breeze when we have these temperatures, the RH or relative humidity, the wind like this just pulls the moisture out of all your flammable materials, you know, your debris, your and so you might go out and be like, well, it's only, you know, 80 degrees. It's not the triple digits that we do get here sometimes, but and so it can be misleading where it doesn't feel that hot or feel that dry, but when you start looking at, you know, you pick up a little twig and it's bone dry, or your garden, you know, you watered it 2 days ago and everything's looking wilted. That's that, you know, even that 5-10 mile an hour breeze that you don't really notice, but it pulls the moisture out of everything and just greatly increases your fire risk.
Yeah. And so for you, Eric, talk to us a little bit about what your day is like. Are you getting calls from people, and do you actually do and go out to homes and give advice?
I do.
Let's go. You mentioned that to me last month, and I think it's worth repeating. So go ahead.
Yeah. So we have a couple different ways that, so let me start back. I cover Marion County Fire District number 1 here out of Salem. I cover Kaiser Fire District, Almsville Fire District, and Mount Angel Fire District. And when I say I cover those, we had went in on some joint grants. And so that, you know, everything I do is grant funded. So my position is grant funded. The work we do to cover the cost of mitigation is all covered by different grants. And so there's a couple different ways that people can get a hold of us. There's the website through the Oregon State Fire Marshal's office. You can go to www.OregonDefensibleSpace.org, and you can enter your address, and that will actually refer you to who covers your area. So if it's an area I cover, then I would get an email, and then I make contact with that person, and you know, I'll go out to their property, and we basically, there's a process we do, a defensible space checklist. Basically, we go through that, we look at stuff, we give recommendations, and then there is some funding that we have that will actually allow us to do some of the mitigation work. And so I also do a lot of, I have no problem, and I like to talk to people. So I will go up and just knock on doors. You know, if I see somebody's property that, hey, maybe they need some help. Maybe it's, you know, here in the valley, unlike Central Oregon, we have a lot of blackberries.
Yeah.
We get a lot of tall grass. I mean, that stuff grows super quick, and blackberries can get out of control in a very short amount of time. And not everybody is equipped, I guess you could say, to handle that, you know, where it's one thing to cut a couple berries, but when you have even a quarter acre, or you get berries that are 15 feet tall up on your house,
We need to get a bunch of goats, have them come down and chomp them down.
Hey, that there's programs to do that, bring goats in and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I'll go out and just say, hey, you know, like I'm willing, can I help you? You know, and so I do a combination of, you know, events like this. I do a lot of public events or, you know, like the Marion County Fair, we do stuff like that. We have Kaiser, we did an event in Kaiser a couple months ago. And then we have our wildfire prevention night that was in May. So just events like that, and then go out, drive our district, talk to people, knock on doors.
And I want to emphasize, because you mentioned it last month at the fair, you're not like a police officer going to do it and getting somebody a ticket because they sped or made a bad move. You are there to say, hey, I just want to help you.
Yes.
This is not like you're walking around with a white glove and a clipboard and you start at 100% and you start knocking houses down to, you know, 80. Oh, you flunked.
Yeah.
But you're there to say, hey, look, we want to be very proactive here. We don't want to have you be part of a big colossus of a problem, because it can happen.
Yeah. And this is not I'm not in an enforcement position. So we don't enforce this. These are all suggestions and recommendations, you know, and if somebody has their favorite pine tree growing through their porch, okay, well, I wouldn't recommend that, but I'm not going to make you cut it down.
Right. You are there to just advise, and it's up to the people that own their home or their property to take that upon recommendation, and hopefully they'll take that advice. Allison Green, Eric Barham, all fighting fires are part of that process right here on Rural Matters. Jake, back after this.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, I hope the news wasn't too tough, and I hope that your Friday is just going great. As we are in probably, they call August the dog days of summer. At least they sure did in the Midwest when I used to live out there. And boy, could it get hot and muggy and keep you indoors with air conditioning running full blast. Allison Green out in the Central Oregon area. Allison, I'd like you to share some things that you feel need to be mentioned as we start the back half of Rural Matters about what you're seeing and what people need to be aware of. Go ahead, Allison. Take it away.
Yeah, well, I would say so. A few, you know, Eric did a great job of kind of lining out, like, you know, defensible space and really how those, you know, that we call them assessments or site visits go, where essentially, you know, Marion County One and all of the kind of service areas that Eric provides that service, anybody in Oregon who's listening to this, there are folks who will come out and do that for you, whether it's your local fire district or it's one of my colleagues at Oregon State Fire Marshal. Somebody will actually come out and give you tailored recommendations for your property, right? None of that is enforcement. It is just a way for you to take steps to prepare your house. And, you know, we talked about mitigation at the top of the program here is really that mitigation, you know, technique for you to prioritize. Because ultimately, one of the reasons I have always loved this work is that wildfire is one of the only natural disasters that we as humans can do something about before we're even in the smoky days. That ultimately, I can do something in my yard and I can reduce the intensity of a fire as it's coming into my yard. I can't lessen the category of a hurricane if I'm doing something in my yard. I can for wildfire, which means, right, we as humans, we have some control over this. So wildfire can feel scary. It can feel overwhelming. But remember, we as humans actually have the control here. And so when we're talking about defensible space, right, whether you have Eric out or you have somebody that's also within our statewide program, it is not a moonscape with no trees, no vegetation. You can't have anything next to the house kind of thing. It is managed strategic plantings and trimmings and irrigation around your property that essentially lessens that fire intensity. There's also very easy things you can do to your house right now that don't require power tools, doesn't require anything to actually lessen the embers from getting into some of those nooks and crannies. And so Oregon Defensible Space.org, O-R-G, that is the place to kind of get that cursory information and then also schedule an assessment if you decide that you want one. And then again, I would be remiss if I don't also plug. We are in August. It is by firefighters lovingly termed Dirty August, where everybody's face is dirty because they've been fighting fire for months. This is when, if you have not registered for emergency alerts, go to oralert.gov. Make sure you are registered for those alerts. You cannot keep yourself safe if you don't know what's going on. Also, a really good time if you are in a place where you're checking bags, your evacuation kit, all of that, now is the time to do it. Make sure you have things like a phone charger. I have a cribbage board in mind to keep me entertained. All of those things, now is the time to do it if you didn't do it at the top of the summer.
Allison, that's really pragmatic, practical stuff. I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask Eric this question too as we're rolling through this segment. How's the response been when you or your colleagues go and do a mitigation go through? Are people like going, oh, wow, I'm really glad you told me that? Is a pretty good response? How's your experience been with that, meeting the public that way on their property?
Honestly, I love home assessments. They're one of my favorite things. Like I have lost count of how many fantastic dogs I've met, right? Like, they're a great time. But I would also say the cool thing about these is we can talk about generalized checklists for defensible space and other terms, home hardening, which essentially makes sure that embers can't get into all those nooks and crannies. We can talk about those generalizations, but there is something so powerful about it being on your property for your home. And having somebody just walk through with you and help you prioritize those things. If you're walking through and you're like, oh, this list is so long, focus on two things to get done this summer or this year, and then keep cranking away at it. Mitigation and preparedness is not a one and done. It is a constant evolution. But I would also really encourage folks to not think about defensible space as a rock donut, right? You can have trees, you can have vegetation. It's just what are the right trees, the right vegetation, and where they are placed in your yard. And that's why those home visits really, really help, because ultimately it is your yard. So we can talk about placement in your yard, not somebody else's.
Well, and I can't help but imagine that by doing some preactive, preventative stuff, it's going to help your insurance, man. I mean, come on, the safer your house is, the better it's going to be on an overall scope of that. And so, well said, Allison. Now, Eric, I'm going to have you follow up and talk about your experiences a little bit as we have a few minutes left in this segment.
Yeah. So, you know, here locally in the Willamette Valley, I think one of the things that we run into is people look at their place and go, well, I live in the valley. We don't have wildfires, unlike where Allison is at. So, you know, it's very eye-opening when, I think it was last year, just over south of Salem by Almsville, Staten, Turner area, they had that fire and there was a couple of structures lost. Well, that feels like it's right here in town. And so it is eye-opening for people when something like that happens to go, well, wait a minute. So maybe there is, you know, a potential for something to happen. And it's, I think where people, the education part can come in is it's not necessarily like a out of control wildfire blowing through a neighborhood and just, you know, mass destruction. It could be something as simple on the, you know, here in Salem, on the east side of Corden Road, when they're burning a field or a field catches on fire, the embers come and land, you know, on somebody's house on the west side of Corden Road. And so one of the things I talk to people, especially if they're like, well, I don't have the money to do anything, or, you know, it's too much, is just look at your, you know, think of, put yourself in the shoes of an ember. If you were going to land on your house, what would you catch on fire? And that's something that doesn't cost money. Somebody can look at their, you know, their house, their structure, or whatever, you know, whatever they're deeming is of value. If you were an ember being blown in by the wind, what would you catch on fire? Is it the leaves in the gutter? Is it the bark dust? We love bark dust here in Oregon, especially sure. the valley.
Yeah.
What bark dust, you know, is there needles on top of the bark dust or an ember? I mean, that's prime fuel for an ember to catch on fire and then potentially go under the siding. And so that doesn't cost money. You know, can you rake the bark dust back? You know, can you knock the leaves, hose the leaves off of your roof? You know, the crevices are out of the gutter, stuff like that, where it's, we don't need to come in with massive equipment and start, you know, dropping trees. And yes, that we have done that, but there's a lot of stuff that can be done for very little to no cost. And that's something that I think as people, as we get out and talk to more of the public and the citizens here, spreading that awareness and education is huge on this program.
Well, I think it's really great knowledge, because I don't think a lot of people know that you guys go out and do, you and your colleagues do some nice assessments, and it's strictly, hey, this is for your own good.
Yeah.
And your experiences too, people warm up to that. They're okay with you coming
yeah,
over.
Yeah. I mean, when I knock on a door, you know, people will maybe look through the peephole, or
we tend to be private people. Some of us.
Yeah. And I mean, we are too. So I take a very, authoritative stance, you know, cause I'm not there. Nobody's in trouble. I'm not here to make you do anything. I'm here to help. And so, you know, I've left notes on people's doors with my card saying, hey, I'm here to help. We have this program, call me. And once the initial, like, am I in trouble question gets asked, people are super appreciative and grateful.
they see the uniform or something and they're going, uh-oh, what's going on here? And that's understandable. Now, I think it's talking to you last month, I think that's a great thing that both of you are doing there, going forward with prevention is tremendous. Jake, Rural Matters, talking with some fire prevention experts in LeGrand and here locally. And we're going to be back with Eric and Allison, the last segment right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, last segment. Honored to be here, you guys. So grateful for this station, all the years that I've been able to do this program right here at 1430 AM KYKN. And so happy to be here today. Very relative issue today, talking about firefights, both in the woods and even here in our city of Salem. Allison Green, what gets you up in the morning, Allison? You've got a real zeal in your voice, and you look like somebody I want to meet. Talk about what really gets you going.
Besides my absolute rock star of a coffee pot.
Right on. But, yeah, we all need that.
Other than that, you know, I would say, like, one of genuinely my favorite part of the job is helping folks discover what I love to call their light bulb moments, right? So, you know, as Eric was kind of talking through, you know, things like what you can do right now without power tools, without getting into a lot of kind of the heavy, you know, things that people think about when we're doing this work, there are small things that people can do that make a huge difference. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter where we're at in Oregon, the wrong fire on the wrong day is what we're preparing for. And so what I really love is the one-on-one interactions. I love that I get to help folks solve problems that are relevant to them on their property. And to be honest, the dogs that I meet, hands down the best thing. I've also had a couple of cats that decide to supervise my home visits, which are even better. And then on top of it, right, the gardening advice, the way that we can work with folks to solve problems that are relevant for them, that is genuinely the favorite part of my job doing this work, is helping people protect their homes before we even have smoke in the air.
That's incredible. Allison, I need maybe just one little personal story. You talk about August being, what do you call it, the dirty face of the month? What did you call that? What was the phrase?
Dirty August.
Dirty August. Yeah. So tell me in your experience, and you've been at it a while, what's the longest stretch of time you had where you were actually in that August run, if you will, where you were literally going nonstop? Talk about that for a moment. I'm sure my listeners would like to hear that from you.
Well, I would say so. Some of the work that I did, I was fortunate enough to start my career genuinely at 18 with the U.S. Forest Service as a wildland firefighter. So the longest you can actually be deployed or mobilized to a fire is 21 days. And then you have, like, right by law, you have to take a few days off because otherwise folks start making mistakes. They get hurt. But ultimately, I think I spent, it was close to 20 days on a project fire, right, which is what we call the big fires, and then went home to support operations on the local district I was working on. But ultimately, the cool thing about going from a project fire, right, you'll be with a crew of 20 folks that you've never met before. They just kind of jam you together. You get to know each other, rapid team building, and you work together for 2 or 3 weeks. And then when you go home, then you're doing things like prevention messaging in campgrounds. You're back to your crew. You're back to training. You're back on whatever apparatus you're on and settling back in. And so I think it was late July all the way through to the second week of August. I had a span of about 20 days where I did just about every single thing you could think of that you're trained to do as a wildland firefighter.
And we need to emphasize, because Eric and I talked about this earlier before we came on, this isn't romper room. This is seriously a dangerous job that you guys, you're in a battle. And I guess I got to ask you, you know, Allison, do you ever feel vulnerable at times in those stretches of times where you're meeting the enemy at whatever level you're at?
Absolutely. I mean, right, like this work is a blast, and a lot of us do it because it brings us joy, but it doesn't negate the danger, right? Whether you are doing it for a structural fire department or you're doing it on the wildland side of things, this work is hot, it is dangerous, it has inherent risks. And so that is, you know, honestly, back to the original question, one of the reasons I love this work as well. I know the danger that all of our firefighters are in, no matter what, you know, badge they have on their shirt or what color their truck is. The more people mitigate and prepare, the safer they make our firefighters. And that, at the end of the day, is what we need. We need our community safe, and we need our firefighters to be safe. And if Defensible Space can do that, then it's a win-win across the board.
Very well put. Eric, I want to switch over to you real quick. Any real quick stories before we talk about the open house coming up?
Real quick. Yeah. You got to have some
space here, Eric.
I got stuck on a fire in New Mexico outside of Albuquerque, and we were on severity watch. So that's where there's thunderstorms coming in, and they're keeping resources there. So crews, in case something happens. And there was an old National Guard base outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico, that we spent, I think, 16 days at, not doing anything, just watching thunderstorms. And we could see Albuquerque, but we couldn't get there because we were on contracted buses. So they don't take you anywhere. You just sit and eat camp food for 16 days. And we lived in green army tents in the desert. It was wild.
Yeah.
It was not the great. I enjoyed what I did, but there was days you enjoy more than others.
I hear you there. Eric, we want to switch gears here. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the open house and where and what. I want to turn the floor over to you with that, Eric.
Yeah, so we have a couple different events coming up. One, which is coming up very soon here, keep an eye out. So Almsville is having their Cornfest days. We will have a booth there giving out information, talking to people about Defensible Space. So you can check, you know, probably Almsville Fire, their Facebook page, or even the Almsville City website. They'll have the dates on that. And then for Marion County Fire, we have our open house coming up in September. All that stuff gets posted on our Facebook page. So Marion County Fire District number 1, they'll have the specific dates and times coming up. So basically what that is an opportunity for people, the public, to come in, you know, look at the equipment, get a tour of the station, climb on the equipment. And we also try to bring in some some local businesses that can talk about, you know, specific things. So we'll have like a nursery there, and their thing is they're not there like selling, you know, trees and stuff, but they're there to talk about fire resistant shrubs, fire resistant plants, which ones do better down here in the valley or a wet location, or, you know, specific questions that's what they specialize in. We try to have somebody maybe that does fencing that can talk about, hey, you know, you have a wood fence and creating a fire break coming, you know, like a fuel continuity break. So between the house and your fence, what can you put in there that still looks good and is not fire, you know, or is fire resistant? So maybe some sort of synthetic or metal or, you know, so we try to bring in some different vendors that have specific areas of expertise that the public can talk to. And, you know, if they want to pursue it farther, that's up to them, but at least get some information, and we try to spread that around for people.
I think it's amazing. I've noticed, too, that on occasion there's various coffee places that'll have you guys doing on a Sunday morning. I'll see all you guys out there with your truck, all dressed up. Somebody's on a not a treadmill, but a stepper with full gear on. How hard is it to, hey, Allison, how hard is it to move around with all that gear on you? I mean, come on, that's got to give you some cardio, right?
Well, at a minimum, those packs are 45 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
You're packing out more gear. So.
Yeah, but you need it. And, you know, I always feel for you guys because you guys are covered up. You already got like what feels like, looks like 6 inches of stuff around you. And then you're going to walk into something that's close to 104. I don't know how hot it gets in there, Allison. But obviously, you guys know how to do it. We've got 2 minutes left. Allison, I want you to give everybody one last shot at various websites they need to pay attention to as we're still in summer. And then I want to turn it back to Eric and he can do the same.
Absolutely. So I have 3 websites. So the first one is for my folks that still are going to get out there and enjoy the summer. Definitely start with Crypt Check, right? That is any and all traffic condition road closures. We've unfortunately had quite a few due to wildfire this year. So just make sure you are checking before you go. Trip Check, number one resource. The second one is if you have not registered for emergency alerts, please make sure you do that. I'm actually registered for alerts in multiple counties because I travel so much.
Yeah.
At least get registered for the county you live in under the address at your house. So oralert.gov, that is the place to sign up for alerts statewide. Doesn't matter what county you're in. The last one is if you want somebody like me, one of our deputy state fire marshals, somebody like Eric, to come out and do a defensible space assessment for you. Again, all education, all recommendations, just customized to your property, OregonDefensibleSpace.org. It is a way to go in and schedule an assessment so that somebody will come out and set up a time with you.
Awesome. And Eric, 30 seconds.
Yeah, the main one is that OregonDefensibleSpace.org. That is a great one to reach out if you have questions or need an assessment done. And then, of course, follow us on our Facebook page for any of the local events coming up. Marion County Fire District number 1.
You expecting a fair amount of people to come to the open house? Let's hope so.
I think last year we had 900.
Oh, that's great.
People.
That's wonderful. Well, they can check the website out to see all of the times and stuff for that as well. Eric and Allison, what a delight to have you guys on. And you guys both stay safe. This is Jake, Rural Matters, and we'll be back again next Friday. God bless. Take care, everyone.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.